Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
College football edition of Stacking the Box making its return just ahead of draft season. What's up, guys? I'm your host, Reed Wallach, joined by Cody Williams. We're filling in for Sterling Holmes and Ian McMillan as NFL draft season is ramping up, and the powers that be have deemed that we, as the college football experts on Fansided, are the ones that will take us through draft season, talking how these players fit, maybe some draft betting involved, all the recent developments from last week's NFL draft combine. A lot to get to. Cody, what's up, man? How's it been? What's it been, like 3 months since we got on the sticks together?
Yeah, man, it's been a hot minute. You know, last time we were together, you were pretty accurately depicting how the national championship game was going to come go through. And yeah, you were eating on that one. So hats off to you. Good to see you again, man. Good to be back. Yeah.
It's great to be back talking some NFL draft stuff. Of course, this is next month's draft. We have about like 5-6 weeks until the actual NFL draft, a 3-day long event. But I think it's good to kind of catch up, see what's going on. We had obviously the combine recently. We have some movements in betting markets, some new reports coming out. Of course, today is the start of free agency. So maybe some moves can be telegraphed based on how teams are operating in free agency. Maybe they're prioritizing, you know, offensive line in free agency, and they're going to end up, you know, focusing on skill position players in the first round. You know, we could talk all about that. But I want to start, before anything else, to tell you about our sponsor, DraftKings. If you use the promo code STB, new customers will get a second chance bet up to $1,000. Again, if you use the code STB, it stands for this great program, Stack in the Box. That means if your first bet loses, you will get your full wager return as a bonus bet up to $1,000. Signing up with our code STB not only covers your first bet, but also gets you access to daily rewards and other profit boosts. If you're looking to join DraftKings, go download the app and register with our promo code again. That's STB to make sure your first bet is covered. This offer is only available to new customers who are 21 and over and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check the episode description below for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. So let's get right through the window dressing here. I want to talk about what's going on at the quarterback position, because I think we can agree, Cody, and you can stop me if I'm wrong, Caleb Williams is going to be the number one pick. I don't know who's going to be picking one, but Caleb Williams is going to go number one.
Yeah, and I'm pretty confident it's going to be the Chicago Bears. I feel like it would be a fireable offense to move off the number one pick when Caleb Williams is on the board.
Yeah, I agree. So I think we can move that out of the way. We don't need to discuss that. We're going to talk some fits later, but let's stay right here with the number two pick, because I think that's where the intrigue starts. And it goes for a few more picks, but starts there with pick number two, currently held by the Washington Commanders. Early on in the process, it looked like Drake May was the surefire number two quarterback in this draft. He's going to be the man that's going to lead the Commanders back to the glory land. But there's been a lot of rumblings that Jaden Daniels actually is rising up the boards. And this morning, the two now have the same odds at DraftKings Sportsbook. And if you want to wager on such a thing, you could use the promo code STB to get a bonus bet free, bonus bet up to $1,000 when you sign up. They have the same odds, Jaden Daniels and Drake May. So, Cody, I'll ask you. This isn't your opinion. I'll ask you that after. But Do you buy into the reports that the Commanders may actually be leaning going with Jaden Daniels at number two over Drake May?
I do, wholeheartedly, actually. I think that it makes a lot of sense. You look at what they've done this offseason. They brought in Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator. And when we saw Cliff Kingsbury previously in the NFL, yes, in college, he obviously has ties to Caleb Williams, but I don't think that's going to be an option for the Commanders. And so when you look at Cliff Kingsbury previously in the NFL, he had Kyler Murray, who, yes, diminutive in size, but very mobile and has a lot of very plus traits with his arm. I think Jaden Daniels, in a weird way, is like a stretched out version of Kyler Murray in the way that they operated in college. Like, Kyler Murray was a very run first. When the offense broke down in the Lincoln Riley system, he would take off. And that's kind of what we saw with Jaden Daniels at LSU. So I think Cliff Kingsbury sees a lot of that, but sees like an upgraded version with a bigger frame, probably a little bit bigger arm with Jaden Daniels. And so I just, based off that knowledge and that fit, I do think that there is something to that, especially as we start to see, you know, Drake May's stock seemingly slide a little bit. Like, it seems like every report we read about Drake May is just negative.
Yeah. I guess I buy it. Now this is my opinion bleeding into this. I think it'd be crazy to take
Jaden. Oh, I do too, to be clear.
I know you're a North Carolina guy too. So I just think Jaden Daniels obviously put up video game like numbers at LSU, and I completely understand. But in terms of what's translatable to the next level, and Drake May was, you know, towards the top of the class in terms of time to throw, getting out of the pocket, huge, huge body. I just think Jaden Daniels has a propensity to take shots, you know, more relying on his – when the play breaks down, he could extend plays, which Drake May is also able to do. But Jaden Daniels has more of like that burst that turns maybe 5-yard plays into 20-yard plays. I just don't know if that's going to be there at the next level, whereas to me, Drake May is a much higher floor. And if you're starting your rebuild with a guy – I think Drake May is a much more trustworthy guy. I don't even know if Jaden Daniels has that much higher of a ceiling. That's my opinion. I do think it's early enough in the process that maybe it's up for debate. I don't think it's like, oh, well, the Commanders actually like Jaden Daniels more, so that's why these odds are shrinking. I think it's more that like there's not a clear consensus, and it's not like Drake May is definitely going to the draft starts at 3. I think that's more what this is. And I don't know if it's necessarily an anti-Drake May thing or a pro-Jaden Daniels thing. It's just that there's no pros or cons anywhere. This is just – it's still early in the process. Again, it's only March 11th. So I think still TBD, and new Commanders general manager, Adam Peters, I believe that's his name. Peters is his last name. Comes from obviously the San Francisco tree. Based on the traits that San Francisco has looked for in the past, and if you think that there's going to be some sort of overlap there, doesn't Drake May make a lot more sense, though, than Jaden Daniels?
To a degree, but at the same time, if you're looking for, like you were talking about, the, you know, Jaden Daniels has a little bit more electricity in terms of like his mobility and his dual threat ability. The 49ers are the team that traded a boatload, a king's ransom to go get Trey Lance. Obviously that failed spectacularly, but like that is still a move that they made. So while I understand like the quarterbacks we've seen start in San Francisco, yes, Drake May absolutely fits that bill more so than Jaden Daniels. But at the same time, in terms of what the 49ers did in the draft, that's a little bit different story.
I think it's interesting. I mean, I think it would be crazy to go
with. I mean, I think it would be ludicrous too. Like, I think Drake, I've been developing this comp a little bit, and I need to find out, you know, get some fine tune it a little bit. But Drake May reminds me of a slightly more, as a prospect, a slightly more refined Josh Allen when Josh Allen was coming out of Wyoming. You have that plus mobility, you have that huge frame, you have a very nice arm, probably lesser so than Josh Allen. And the mistakes and the reason that Drake May, you know, there are some doubters about him, is there are throws where he is just plain inaccurate. Like, he's not off platform. His mechanics are right, and he's just inaccurate. It's not as often as it was with Josh Allen, but you look at the tools and the frame and everything that he can bring to the table, it is very Josh Allen-like. And I think given what we've seen Josh Allen develop into, the fact that Drake May is, what, 3 years younger than Jaden Daniels, like, I think it would be a massive mistake for the Commanders. But I do think, like you said, at this point in the process, it is very much in play. And, like, I think it is very much an indication of the Commanders are not decided. That doesn't mean anything is a formality, though.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The other big development has been the rise of J.J. McCarthy into what seems to be top 10 for sure, top five maybe. J.J. McCarthy flying up mock drafts. All the hubbub has been about the Michigan quarterback. I have always said that I think incredibly talented quarterback. I think that the system in which he played in doesn't necessarily do justice to who he is as a player. I think he's still very raw, but the arm strength is there. The talent is there. So I am a fan of McCarthy. I don't know if I take him top five, but I always thought he was a first round pick. So I'm happy that he's trending upwards rather than downwards. That being said, after last year's quarterback cycle, where Will Levis seemed to be the number three pick up until draft day, there does feel, it feels a little Levisian to me. It feels like there's a lot of smoke McCarthy's way. Again, maybe someone does take him in the top five, top 10, but this does feel like there's a lot of smoke around McCarthy, maybe almost too much smoke early in the year, but maybe I'm just scared of my own shadow. What do you think, Cody?
So two things. The first thing is Mel Kiper Jr. reported this weekend or end of last week, you know, time's a flat circle, it all blends together, that J.J. McCarthy could overtake Drake May as QB3 in this draft because Mel Kiper has Jaden Daniels as QB2. So, like, that's shocking in and of itself and would pretty much lock J.J. McCarthy into being a top five pick if that were the case. Secondly, I'm with you. I think J.J. McCarthy is a first-round prospect. I would take him in the first round handedly. But I think that it really comes down to how much teams, and the reason I'll push back on the Levis comp just a little bit is we kind of knew what Will Levis was and it was erratic and you kind of didn't know what you were going to get. And we saw that with the Titans last year. He was the same quarterback he was at Kentucky, like some wild plays and some head scratching plays mixed in there. Like it's just a 50-50 split. McCarthy, the reason you would doubt him is there's no body of work. Like he wasn't asked to throw the ball at the level of any of these other quarterback prospects at the college level in the Michigan offense. Granted, it wasn't because they didn't have faith in him. It was just a construct of what they run in Ann Arbor. But I do think that like that mystery element of what could McCarthy potentially be? Like we don't really know what his ceiling is because we haven't seen him even really tap into any of his potential yet because of what he was asked to do. And so I think that's a little bit different of a case than Levis. And we've seen multiple times in this league, for better or worse, it works, you know, probably a 50-50 split or whether or not this crapshoot actually works. But like NFL teams operate under, well, that potential, that ceiling, whatever we could get this player to, that's always going to be very enticing, especially if there's a team, you know, I'm not saying I believe this. This is not my opinion. But if teams believe that Drake May kind of is what he is and there's not really much room for development because he does have a lot of starts under his belt, he does have a lot of experience, they might favor J.J. McCarthy in the way of, well, we don't know what this guy's going to be, and we already think he's going to be like have a higher floor than some others.
No, I agree. It's a fantastic point that that theoretical upside is like what attracts evaluators to these players is you want a player to outperform their draft slot. So if you don't know a player's upside or it's not as clear, there's a better chance that they are to outperform it. At the same time, there's also a better chance that they are to fall way short of it. Whereas Drake May might have a higher floor, J.J. McCarthy has a higher ceiling likely because we don't know what the ceiling is. The ceiling could be significantly higher because the scheme in which he played wasn't an air raid-like system that North Carolina ran. It was a run first bully ball. And again, I think JJ McCarthy, there were plenty of throws he made. And I, you know, going back college football season, I was saying it all year. They can let JJ cook if they wanted to. They just chose not to. They chose to lean on their defense and really just kind of salt these games away, which, I mean, they won a national championship, so it worked. But I always thought that when evaluating this class, that McCarthy always looked like a first rounder to me, because especially when you see the drop off now to like QB four and QB five, and this is getting a little too in the weeds on some of this, but like when it's like Bo Nix and Michael Penix, we know the ceiling on those guys. Those guys are significantly older. They're more developed. We've seen a longer body of work. To some, Michael Penix's case, a lot more injuries. You definitely take JJ McCarthy over those guys because you're, again, one has room to go. You could put them in your system, even if JJ is more of a project, and we're going to get to some fits in a little bit. So I agree with you. I don't know how high JJ McCarthy's going to go. Definitely a lot of smoke though of him being inside like that top 10, top five, is JJ McCarthy. So this is our first episode. Let's keep it super baseline here. We're not going to give out any bets necessarily or anything, but I just want to talk some of the buzzier names. And we thought we'd start with quarterback and wide receiver. This is strictly top landing spots. So there can be some overlap. This can be, you know, certain situations that we think favor a certain type of player. Just get the audience a little familiar with this draft class coming from college and projecting them towards the NFL. So let's start obviously at the top of the board with Caleb Williams, the consensus number one prospect from USC, the 2022 Heisman Trophy winner. Got my years mixed up there. Caleb Williams is as surefire as a prospect as we've seen in some time. Cody, what do you think is the best landing spot for Caleb to maybe realize his best?
So I don't know about realize his best, but I have best landing spot as the Chicago Bears because they have the number one pick. And that's just kind of where I come down to, because so I think that
you're like at peace. You're like, okay, this is the best landing spot because that's where he's going to go. So that's what we should talk about.
I mean, pretty much that's where I'm coming down on it, just because of the fact, like, the Bears obviously have mold and mediocrity at quarterback for a very, very long time. And part of that is self-inflicted. Like, I don't think they put Justin Fields in a very advantageous situation, but when you have a prospect of Caleb Williams, who I don't think, like, saying things like he's the best quarterback prospect since an Andrew Luck, like, or Trevor Lawrence, you know, whichever quarterback, you know, high end quarterback prospect you want to compare him to, he is of that ilk. He is of that caliber. The plays he can make, the arm strength, the creativity. Yes, there are concerns. Like, I wonder what he's going to look like in an NFL offense where he's asked to play in structure a little bit more, because a lot of times at USC, he was just allowed to freelance. And so I do wonder what that structure is going to look like. But I do think that the Bears, what they've done over the past couple years in trying to put a better situation around Fields, not necessarily successfully, but they have built a better infrastructure. The offensive line has improved quite a bit. They've got DJ Moore in there. They're probably going, they have another top 10 pick, so they're probably going to add a wide receiver with that pick. And then they have a defense where they've added Montez Sweat. They've kept Jalen Johnson in the secondary. So I think it is a much better situation than it was, than it has been in previous years. And I think Caleb Williams is the type of player that if he realizes the potential that is obvious that we saw at USC, he's going to be the type of player that can level up an organization like the Bears.
I think the best landing spot is actually the team picking second, the Commanders. Mm-hmm. There were rumblings that maybe they try and move up from 2-1 to go get Caleb. I mean, you were just talking about it with Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. I mean, they did hire Caleb Williams, former offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury, to be their OC. So maybe there is a little bit of smoke that the Commanders, new owner, they're trying to restart this whole process. Do they maybe splurge a little bit on their assets and go move from 2-1 to go get Caleb Williams? I personally really like the fit. I think that the passing game can really take off. I mean, even with Sam Howell, I mean, the Commanders are putting up points at times. I mean, Terry McLaurin's obviously a high-end receiver, in my opinion. I hold him in high regard. The offensive line needs a lot of work. But, I mean, the Commanders, they sold off some pieces at the deadline last year, so they have a few more surplus assets than typical. Obviously, they have the number two pick as well. Do they maybe reroute some of their pick package and end up with number one with a Bears team that maybe the grade between Williams and, I don't know, Jaden Daniels or Drake May is closer, or maybe they overplayed their hand just now with Justin Fields? I mean, the Falcons just signed Kirk Cousins. Suitors are falling off here in Justin Fields sweepstakes. Do the Bears say Fields is all right? We could run him back, maybe sign it's like a Daniel Jones-esque extension, like a 3-year, but you could get out after year two. Do we move back again for a huge ransom and you continue to just have the most assets in the NFL? I don't know. I think it's up in the air. And I personally really like the fit for Caleb, bringing his explosiveness to the Commanders with what looks to me more like a blank sheet, a blank canvas, more so than the Bears, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. And I mean, you know, you mentioned Terry McLaurin. They also have Jahan Dotson, who's a guy I'm a fan of. I love Jahan Dotson. I think he's a great wide receiver too for that offense. They've got Brian Robinson in the backfield. So like they have a decent offensive infrastructure in terms of skill position. Like you said, the offensive line needs help. I just think I have a hard time seeing, even, you know, you made a very compelling case as to why the Bears would consider trading down. And I do believe that the Commanders are going to try to trade up to number one. I just don't think the Bears are going to buy it, is the only problem I have with it. Yeah. And I don't see, like, if Caleb Williams isn't, you know, pick one, round one, I will be absolutely floored. Like, I'll have to take a 15-minute break when I'm on the, you know, working on the desk that night, because I'll be so shocked by it.
Let's talk Drake May now. We did at the top, but this is now merely like a football conversation, not necessarily where he's going to be drafted. But if there was one landing spot for your North Carolina Tar Heel to go, where would it be?
Minnesota Vikings, baby. I want him in Minnesota with Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson, Jordan Addison. You look at where Drake May thrived, and you think about how he had that immediate connection with Tez Walker, which could have been even better, you know, if they had a full offseason and the first few games of the season to kind of warm up together. But the ability to push the ball downfield, the ability to create and like give his receivers more time. And you look at Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson and TJ Hawkinson and how they win. They're so crafty with how they run routes that if you have Drake May buying an extra second of time, those guys are going to be open for big chunk plays in that offense. And the Vikings are such an interesting team because they obviously, with Kirk Cousins now in Atlanta, they need a quarterback. And they're sitting there at the 11th pick. They're not really in range. So they're a if I have to circle one team that I think is going to trade up, and I would predict it pretty heartily that they are going to, it's the Minnesota Vikings. And I think Drake May, of all the top quarterback prospects, makes the most sense to me, because this is an offense, especially with Justin Jefferson looking for an extension, that needs a, like you said about May earlier, kind of a higher floor prospect, I think. Then, you know, it's probably Caleb Williams and then Drake May in terms of highest floors of these top quarterback prospects. And so I think bringing Drake May in that situation, you get him into a win now situation with the Vikings. They've already made some investments on the defense today, signing Jonathan Grenard. So, and you have Brian Flores calling that defense, so you know the talent's going to be maximized. I do think that the Vikings are in a win now situation, and Drake May is the type of quarterback that can come in. Yes, there are going to be some shortcomings. He's going to be a 21-year-old rookie, but like, I think that he's the type of quarterback that can come in and get the Vikings to the playoff as a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings are a year removed from the playoffs, and honestly, last year went so off the rails for Minnesota with Kirk's Achilles injury. Jefferson was banged up, but even with Josh Dobbs, Nick Mullins, Jaren Hall, I mean, they were in the playoff hunt until the bitter end. So Minnesota is a team that I think should be aggressive this year in free agency, in the NFL draft, trying to move up and get a quarterback. Obviously, they just lost Kirk Cousins, but I think they are firmly in the mix with the right quarterback as soon as this year in terms of making the playoffs. I won't say like Super Bowl, but the NFC, it's wide open.
Yeah.
I know the Niners are super talented, but you're going to start to see guys fall off from there. A lot of, you know, law of diminishing returns there. Obviously, contracts are going to have to start being paid. The Eagles, I think, are talented yet flawed. Mm-hmm. TBD there. The Dallas Cowboys, a lot of questions. All of a sudden, you got the Lions, the Packers, the Vikings. That NFC North can become super competitive and also a feeding ground for maybe like that top contender to really emerge. Obviously, the Lions a year removed from the NFC title game. So I like the fit in terms of Minnesota going to get a quarterback prospect. Mine, I kept it the same here. I went with the Washington Commanders. Because, Cody, you and I are intrinsically linked between our college teams, North Carolina and Wisconsin, because the Badgers hired Phil Longo to run their offense last year, an air raid-like system from North Carolina. And if you look at what happened 2 years ago with Drake May, when Phil Longo was calling the offense, Drake May, 4,300 yards, completed 66% of his passes, 38 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. This past year now with a new offense, obviously Tez Walker in and out of the lineup, he only completed 63% of his passes, 3,600 yards, 24 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. So there was definitely a drop off. I wonder if it was a little scheme dependent. And again, Cliff Kingsbury, Phil Longo, those are air raid offenses. So maybe again, I don't know if I see the Jaden Daniels link to Washington as much as some people are making the case for. Maybe it's more of a prospect evaluation, but I think Drake May is an awesome fit in Washington.
No, I absolutely agree. You talk about the air raid principles, and we definitely see Drake May looked more comfortable as a first-year starter than he did as a second-year starter in this, in terms of the scheme. Like, just watch as a North Carolina fan watching every game, like, he just looked like a more comfortable player in that air raid style. And the other thing that, you know, really stands out, and you talk about Cliff Kingsbury and liking mobility in his quarterbacks, under Phil Longo in that air raid offense, he was the team's leading rusher in 2022 as well. So, like, he was effective in every single aspect of that offense. So I do think it makes a ton of sense for the Commanders. And like we talked about at the top of the show, I think the Commanders would be making a mistake if they're not taking Drake May with the number two overall pick. I do think they're very much in danger, and it's a possibility that they do make that mistake, but I do think it's a mistake nonetheless.
Yeah. Jaden Daniels, that third quarterback prospect, where do you want to see him go?
I said the New York Giants, and I think the Giants are a difficult team for me to figure out. Now, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, so I'm familiar with the NFCs. You know, I keep up with it. But at the same time, like, they obviously have to move on from Daniel Jones. Like, that's just not an experiment that's going to work. They should have not handed out, like you mentioned, handing Justin Fields that contract. Daniel Jones is probably the reason I wouldn't hand out the Daniel Jones contract, yeah, because he's not a player that's worth that money, in my opinion. So I do think it is a franchise that needs a reset. And I think Jaden Daniels, at worst, is giving you some excitement that you've really been lacking on that side of the ball for the past couple of years. Like, it's giving you that dynamic rushing element. It kind of the way Jaden Daniels plays, I personally believe could erase some of the deficiencies at the skill positions. Like, you're losing Saquon Barkley. The wide receiver core still needs a lot of help. So I do think the Giants are in that position where they need someone who is just a flat-out playmaker like Jaden Daniels. I do think that they're in range. I think the Giants are another candidate to potentially trade up to number three, or, you know, wherever they needed to go get a quarterback. So if he were to be in that range, I think Jaden Daniels on the Giants would make a ton of sense.
Yeah, J.J. McCarthy's been linked to the Giants a lot as well. I don't know if I think the Giants should be drafting a quarterback right now. I think they just need more help.
Yeah.
And they might be better suited using that Daniel Jones contract, even though it may take a while. At least they know that they can trust this guy to at least, you know, run the system, play some, you know, get them to the playoffs last year. I think they should maybe wait on that contract a little bit more and then have the roster in place to then go get the quarterback when the team is a little bit more ready made. I think they should take advantage of that opportunity in what was a lost year. For me, I don't really know where I think Jaden Daniels should go. So I said the Patriots because I saw Robert Kraft, someone tweeted like Robert Kraft's like message to like season ticket holders. And it was all about how this is like such an exciting draft. Like, it's so talented. And this is the first time, this is probably the highest the Patriots have drafted in God knows how long.
Oh, yeah.
So I think the Patriots are using this, obviously a new coach. They're using this as like a true franchise reset. And I think that Jaden Daniels, like, he to me fits the mold of, okay, let's go get the quarterback. We have such a dearth of talent, no talent whatsoever, that we could really like blank canvas. Let's throw Jaden Daniels in there and we're going to build our roster around him. Jaden Daniels is going to be the new face of our franchise. Maybe it fails, but like, I could see the Patriots doing that and giving Jaden Daniels maybe not the best chance right now, but they're going to give him the keys to the kingdom. And I think Jaden Daniels might be better suited to be his own unique talent in a roster that like has nothing there, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. It makes perfect sense. And I think from what I, you know, some of the rumblings that I've been reading, hearing, yada, yada, I do think that the Patriots are kind of in line with your thinking as well. Not just the Robert Kraft message, but there was a report last week, and I'm trying to remember who it was. It was NBC Sports Boston or Nesson or something like that. But basically, if Jaden Daniels isn't there with the third pick, the Patriots are exponentially more likely to trade out of the pick. So basically, if the Commanders were to take Jaden Daniels at number two, the Patriots don't want Drake May or don't want J.J. McCarthy in that spot, which, you know, you can debate whether or not that's a mistake. But that goes to your point that he is a great fit there, that he would be for such a blank canvas of a roster. Like, you think about the players who are going to be around in New England long term that are currently on the roster. You can maybe count them on one hand. Like, it's not a lot. And so, like, I do think that Jaden Daniels, like you said, he is the type of player who, for better or worse, is going to be at his best if you build around him. Like, you look at the LSU offense. They had a strong offensive line, and they had two absolutely freak athletes on the outside with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. Mm-hmm. And so when you have those two guys, they really play to Jaden Daniels' strength, which is throwing to the outside, throwing the deep ball, and letting him create with their speed. When he creates with his legs, they're either pulling a defender down the field or they're open down the field and he can throw instead of run. So like, it really plays to his strengths. And I think having an NFL franchise like the Patriots, where they are such a blank slate that they could actually build a roster in that ilk.
Yeah, that's I was trying to think, like, where do I think Jaden Daniels should go? I just don't know. And I think that means the Patriots, just given where the team is at currently. Yeah. A team, a prospect that we think needs a little bit more structure, needs some more talent around him, it is J.J. McCarthy. We don't need to go back to what we spoke about before with McCarthy and how we see him as a prospect. But where do you think McCarthy would be best suited to land come April's draft?
So given the events of today, I don't think it's going to happen because the Atlanta Falcons gave Kirk Cousins a four-year contract, which makes me think it's probably not going to happen. But the Atlanta Falcons would be perfect even with Kirk Cousins. You talk about J.J. McCarthy, super young, super raw, super inexperienced. Well, those are all traits where I'm thinking, okay, you need to go to a place where you're going to learn behind a veteran. Now, if the Falcons had signed Kirk Cousins to a two-year contract, I'd be much more like bullish on this, but I think it would make a lot of sense for him to come in, learn from a proven veteran in a good offensive system. Like, I'm really high on Zach Robinson, the Falcons' new offensive coordinator, as a play caller coming from the Sean McVay tree. I think he's going to do a really fantastic job there, and I think he would be able to play to McCarthy's strengths, you know. You think of what McCarthy does well. He has that arm strength, probably a better arm than Kirk Cousins, obviously has more mobility than Kirk Cousins, but you would be able to learn the nuances of being a pro NFL passer. Like Kirk Cousins, no one's going to mistake Kirk Cousins for being one of the most talented quarterbacks that's ever played, but he's had a long, productive career because he understands the mental aspects of the game. He has a really strong grasp of whatever offense he comes into. He's a really accurate passer, and those are the things that I feel that when you have a raw prospect or an inexperienced prospect like McCarthy, I think that having someone to guide them along in those traits and help them develop those traits and work on developing those traits, I think that's most advantageous. So, again, I don't think it's going to be likely given the four-year contract, but I do think in terms of fit, it would make a ton of sense as like a, you know, contingency plan.
Yeah, I think in a similar elk, because it feels like the two franchises are currently like linked. I think the Vikings are like a slam dunk spot for McCarthy. I mean, there's been a ton of rumors around the Vikings potentially being the team to move up and select McCarthy, maybe even at pick five with the Chargers, who have been like the Chargers need like a little bit more help. So they might be in more asset accumulation mode. So maybe they want to move back from five because they don't need like a specific player. They kind of, maybe it's more like offensive line or maybe Brock Bowers. So you move
down. I was
going
to say, maybe don't take Brock Bowers to the top five pick, but taking him at 11, you can swallow that a little bit easier.
Exactly. So I think like that makes it, when I think about it, it was like, okay, those dots at least logically make sense. Whereas other things, I'm just like, I don't know if that really passes the smell test. This one does. I think you mentioned Justin Jefferson. He needs a new contract extension. I think the Vikings are much closer to contending than rebuilding, given the events of last year. I think Kevin O'Connell really cemented himself as a dynamic offensive mind, which I think we knew, but now putting it together with the likes of Josh Dobbs, like I think that really impressed him. And now you go and get McCarthy, who we can call raw, but he has a lot of mileage already in a good way, though. He's played in big games. All he does is he tends to only win games. He's only lost one game in college, national champion. And I think even if you go out and you sign a veteran backup or someone to start early on, and then maybe it's after a few weeks, you turn it to McCarthy, give him a chance. I think this makes a ton of sense. And I think that situation sets up well for J.J. McCarthy. Don't throw him right to the wolves and say, hey, you're our week one. Like if the Patriots drafted J.J. McCarthy at three, I think that'd be really stupid because you're setting him up for failure. He's not ready right now to be the face of a franchise. Whereas if you put him in a Viking system that has a stud receiver in Jordan Addison playing next to Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, a solid offensive line, a strong defense. You put JJ McCarthy in a role where he can be more of a game manager earlier, even a backup earlier on. That is proper team building, in my opinion. So I think the Vikings and JJ McCarthy are an awesome match. I think it would make a ton of sense. And yeah, I think like that's one where they draft McCarthy, that's a team that like immediately catches my eye as like maybe it's like long shot win the NFC odds, I think, because that shows that they're still moving forward, in my opinion.
Yeah, so not to derail the conversation too much, because I agree that the Vikings long-term are a perfect fit for J.J. McCarthy and what they're looking at, but you mentioned signing, you know, a stopgap veteran to start the season and let McCarthy gradually take over. Who would be the ideal, like, veteran free agency target off the top of your head that you think the Vikings could bring in there to, A, cultivate McCarthy a little bit and help him, you know, learn the ropes and things like that, but also to who – I get, for lack of a better way of saying this, who isn't good enough to where fans aren't like, no, we can't put McCarthy in over this guy.
Tannehill?
Too expensive? No, Tannehill's going to be cheap. He was booty cheeks last year, so I don't think he's going to be expensive at all.
Brissett is your classic, like, backup quarterback who, like, will just play to, like, a, you know, 7-10 level for, you know, as possible. Jameis Winston. So I actually think that there are a few, as I run through the list here, I'm looking at my other screen. I think there are plenty of options for, like, a 1-year deal, have someone get in there, like the three I just mentioned, again, that Jameis Winston, Jacoby Brissett, and Ryan Tannehill. Those three make a ton of sense. I kind of like the Tannehill idea.
They were, so there was
Tennessee's a report going to a full, Tennessee's moving in, like, completely in another direction. What were you going to say, though?
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, Tennessee is moving in another direction, no doubt about that. But that right before we started recording, there was a report that came out that the Vikings are interested in Sam Darnold. And I was wondering what you thought about that as, like, the stopgap.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I like that a lot, because you know it's going to be a 1-year cheap deal.
And if he proves that he's, like, not super great, and which I think we know, but, like, if he doesn't hang on to his job or they go through a few bad weeks, and if they have J.J. McCarthy and, you know, he's looking all right, maybe they give him, like, a second half if Darnold can't get it going, and then, you know, maybe that's how the legend begins or something. But I just think there's too many weapons that are also you're able to keep. Like, Jefferson, you didn't re-sign Kirk Cousins, so you have the cap now to overpay on arguably, what, best – three receivers in football, number one receiver in football. So
yeah,
I think this makes a ton of sense. And, you know, you look at how these teams are being built outside of Mahomes. It's, can you strike iron with the quarterback on his rookie deal? Mm-hmm. To me, Minnesota looks like a team now that has this 4-year window where you can accumulate the talent around a quarterback like J.J. McCarthy. And all of a sudden you have a really good roster, a la the Rams with Jared Goff, or even Joe Burrow, what, 2 years ago now when they went to the Super Bowl? 3 years ago?
Yeah. No, 100%. The one thing I will say about the Vikings that does worry me slightly about McCarthy or any rookie quarterback coming in there is obviously they cut Dalvin Cook before the 2023 season. They just recently cut Alexander Mattison as well. So
you talking about booty cheeks.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. But speaking of booty cheeks, their RB1 currently is Cam Akers, who – we haven't seen have a productive season in the NFL, really. Like, he came onto the scene hot in L.A., but ever since injuries started to pile up, he's not been good. So I would like to see the Vikings invest some either free agency or draft capital in upgrading that running back position before I get – because I do think if you're going to have McCarthy, especially coming from the Michigan offense that he did, I think having a strong run game or a strong running back at the very least, someone that can – be a safety valve option in the passing game as well, I think is going to be super valuable to his development.
The Vikings should sign Derrick Henry.
Did they really?
No, they should. They should.
Oh,
they should
yeah, absolutely. Him. Absolutely.
So, yeah, like I think you could maybe get like a 1-year running back, 1-year option. But I was having this conversation with, I'm from the New York area. I root for the Giants. I don't really have an NFL team, but I keep up with the Giants the most. And I always say, friends don't let their friends' favorite football teams pay running backs.
Yeah.
I think the Giants are better suited not signing a guy like Saquon Barkley. And part of the reason is there's so much talent coming into the NFL from the college ranks at running back for a guy that's going to cost, what, 30% of what Saquon just got from the Eagles, give or take.
Yeah.
Like, if the Vikings use – and again, I'm completely doing this off the top of my head, so they might not even have, like, a fourth-round pick. But if they use a fourth-round pick on a Jalen Wright or something, you know, a stud running back prospect, or if Jonathan Brooks falls because of his torn ACL and the Vikings sign him, that's like perfectly feasible. They could easily hit something there, and you cannot pay top dollar for a stud running back that is probably have too much miles on him and probably isn't even going to survive that contract. So I think the Vikings are, we're kind of rambling on them, but I think they are a very interesting piece in the middle of the NFL hierarchy that I think could push towards the top very, very quickly.
Absolutely. And I just this weekend, I did a 7-round mock draft for the Vikings. A, had them trading up for JJ McCarthy. So we're checking that box. Then in the 4th round, like you said, Tyrone Tracy out of Purdue.
Yeah.
And exactly. I think that'd be a perfect fit for them.
And then even if you sign a 1-year deal, like a Zach Moss, even just to have like a veteran presence. So it's not like you're all in on a rookie running back, but I think those like that's still a really, you know, an offense that's set up very nicely in the future. Yeah. Let's keep it moving though. Let's talk some wide receivers. Marvin Harrison Jr. There's been some rumors that he might not be the first wide receiver off the board. I don't believe that. I think he will be. I think he's probably going to go inside the top 5 because people won't let him fall past there. Where would you like to see him go? Where do you think is the best fit for MHJ?
I think it's very redundant of how I formulated my Caleb Williams fit in that I think he's going to be the first non-quarterback off the board, and I think that's going to be the number 4 pick to the Arizona Cardinals. And it just so happens that that marries with a perfect need for what the Cardinals are and what the Cardinals need. You look at Kyler Murray, and when he came back last year from his injury, he was damn good. Kyler Murray played some damn good football at the end of last year. And it seems like the coaching staff in Arizona really has things culturally and schematically heading in a strong direction. Like that Cardinals roster last year, once again, going back, booty cheeks. But like, like the way they were able to stay in games, upset some really good playoff caliber teams, like the Cardinals were a consistent problem throughout the entire year. And I think that speaks really highly of the culture that's already being built there under Jonathan Gannon. And so I think bringing a Marvin Harrison Jr., who is just a straight up, I mean, for lack of a better term, when you think of an alpha wide receiver, he is an alpha wide receiver. There's nothing on the field he can't do. He is his father, except with probably 25 more pounds of muscle and about 5 more inches of height. He's just absolutely everything you can want in a wide receiver prospect. The Cardinals are about to lose Marquise Brown in free agency. That leaves him with a bunch of undersized guys like Rondell Moore, Greg Dortch. Michael Wilson is a little bit bigger, but he's had a torn injury history as he comes into the NFL. So I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the clear-cut wide receiver one in this class. I'm with you. I don't buy that he's not going to be the first receiver taken. And I think the Cardinals have a huge need at wide receiver, and he is a piece that could help take that offense to another level.
Yeah, I agree. My choice was also the Cardinals. And you hit on the point that I was going to hammer home is the fit is pretty seamless here with Arizona and Marvin Harrison Jr. because they desperately need a possession receiver, a guy that can get 12 targets a game and be reliable. You know, Rondell Moore, who I really like, more of a gadget player, more of a put up speed in space and, you know, trying more cook something. He needs something schemed up for him. Marvin Harrison Jr. is like, okay, Kyler Murray's going to throw you the ball. He's going to go get it. The Cardinals don't have that right now. So I think the Cardinals are – there were rumors that, like, this team was going to bottom out and they were going to draft, like, a Caleb Williams. Kyler looked all right to me. And I think he's a polarizing player, but there's no doubt that he's super talented. And I think the Cardinals should be looking to put some weapons around him. So they definitely still need a lot more help. I'm not saying, like, this team is going to be pushing up real fast. But with a talent like that, I think you got to try and give Kyler Murray a chance even, and you can't pass it up, especially at pick number 4, because it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, people view MHA as like the number 2 prospect next to Caleb Williams.
Absolutely. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if you viewed him as the number 1 prospect. I'm being completely honest, he's that damn good. And the other thing that's advantageous for the Cardinals is you can make the case that they need to beef up the defense. Like the defensive personnel is lacking, for to put it kindly. But I will say they have the Texans pick at number 27. They have another first-round pick to start addressing other needs. They have, I believe it's 5 picks in the top 75 picks. Like, they have so much draft capital they built up that, yes, it's always, I guess, like, you know, gives you a little bit of the lemon booty taking a wide receiver in the top 5. I get it. But Marvin Harrison Jr. is the type of talent you take in the top 5. He is the Ja'Marr Chase type of talent that you look for in that range. And on top of that, you're not – wholly sacrificing your ability to get premium picks at other premium positions in the first round or early in the second round either.
Yeah. You know, look at the back end of the first round. That's where you go and help yourself at cornerback, take an offensive lineman, maybe an edge rusher. That's where you start to build up the rest of the holes. And again, like if the Cardinals are picking like 6 or 7 and it's like, all right, maybe you move back. Maybe you take like Joe Alt at offensive line and that's where you start building. But when a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. falls to 4, you got to jump in there and take it. So I agree right there. The wide receiver number 2, most believe, is Malik Nabers, who helped Jaden Daniels produce a Heisman Trophy season. Malik Nabers been linked to plenty of teams inside the top 10, including but not limited to the New York Giants, the Tennessee Titans, as I pull up my list as well, they've been linked to the Chicago Bears, who are picking 9 as well as number 1. Where do you think is the best fit for Neighbors, and how do you see his game translating to the next level?
I want him on the Los Angeles Chargers, and there's no two ways about that. Like, you look picking at Malik 5. Neighbors. Yeah, picking 5. Yeah. And I think as much as I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the clear-cut wide receiver 1, I think Malik Neighbors is the clear-cut wide receiver 2, and I think they're in their own tier together. Like, I'm a big fan of Rome Odunze, but I don't think he brings as much juice to the table as these two guys do. And when I look at the Chargers and how former general manager Tom Telesco built this roster, he always had the size thresholds. He never worried as much about the RAS, you know, relative athletic score or athleticism or anything like that. He was always looking for size. So they just drafted big dudes. And that's how you end up with a Mike Williams and a Keenan Allen and all these big guys who can't really move that well. Malik Neighbors can move pretty damn well. He's one of the better movers in this class. He is absolutely shifty. He's got great speed. He's got great quickness. He also he's really in control of his route running. That's one thing that's really stood out going back and watching him a little bit is when he runs his routes, he uses his quickness and his suddenness so much to his advantage to just get DBs off balance and create space. And obviously Jaden Daniels benefited from that a lot, but you look at this Chargers roster, obviously Justin Herbert, he's the goods. He can absolutely do it, but he needs some help, man. And that comes down to the skill positions. Like, he does not have someone who is a consistent separator who can separate in different ways. And so I think having Malik Neighbors in that offense would give them just a skill set that they do not have among their pass catchers right now, but also help open up the field for the rest of their playmakers. Like, if they do keep Keenan Allen is not going to have as much attention and not going to have as much work to consistently be, you know, double coverage or zone coverage or anything like that, because Malik Neighbors is going to demand so much attention with the juice that he has.
Yeah, I think the Chargers would be a great fit, especially they're going to move on from Mike Williams, it seems like. So there is a hole at receiver. I don't know, though, if the Chargers would go receiver. Like, this isn't fit. This is, like, merely, like, kind of what will happen versus what we think should happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the Chargers would waste their first-round pick in the Jim Harbaugh era on a wide receiver. I just don't know if that necessarily makes the most sense to me. Then again, I'm also maybe making the same – I'm falling into possibly the same trap, because I think he makes a lot of sense with the Tennessee Titans at 7. Mm-hmm. The Titans, you look at where they're going – it looks like Will Levis is going to be the starting quarterback for at least this year. They have DeAndre Hopkins there, but he isn't a vertical threat that he once was, a good pass catcher. But they need, like, a guy with burst, and Treylon Burks hasn't been able to stay on the field enough to really become that type of threat. So I do think that there's a hole with Tennessee where they need someone that could get down the field and Will Levis could chuck the ball down too. So I like the fit there, and just putting some more tea leaves together. Brian Callahan comes from the Cincinnati Bengals coaching tree with Zach Taylor. Obviously, the Bengals just had a roster with T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, of course, around Joe Burrow. So maybe it's Malik Neighbors at 7, and it's a little backwards because Joe Burrow went before Jamar Chase. But with a talent like Neighbors, who has so much speed and he's so devastating in open space, do the Titans say, this guy's a can't miss, we got to get him on the field as soon as possible? And maybe they do try and compete with Will Levis. I don't want to like put like the wrong phrasing on it, but they try to give Will Levis a fair shake instead of like, all right, we're going to suck again this year and it's going to be a disaster and we're going to win 3 games. They probably will anyway, but you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe they want to try and put pieces around a quarterback before they actually draft a quarterback. That being said, though, they definitely need a lot of other things.
Yeah. The one thing that in terms of offensive like fit, yes, you're 100% right. Malik Neighbors is the type of player the Titans absolutely need. But you talk about their other needs. Their offensive line was one of the worst in the NFL last year, man. And they're right in that Joe Alt range. Like, if I had to guess, Joe Alt to the Titans is probably the most popular mock draft pick that you're going to see this offseason and draft season. And for good reason. They need him in a very desperate way. But I do like the fit. And to your point about the Chargers potentially not taking a wide receiver at number 5, they also hired new GM Joe Hortiz, who comes from the Ravens tree. And the Ravens are pretty notorious for taking premium positions with premium picks when they have them. So, like, I do think that does add some credence to the idea that they might not take a wide receiver in the top 5.
Yeah, no, 100% agree. The other wide receiver that is buzzing – potentially wide receiver number two. It's Rome Odunze from Washington. Odunze is being linked to plenty of teams inside the top 10. Where do you want to see him go?
I think he's the perfect guy to go number nine to the Chicago Bears and pair him with Caleb Williams and DJ Moore. I think that is just, you look at the Bears wide receiver core and it's DJ Moore and then just the shrug emoji, I guess. Like Darnell Mooney's a free agent, probably not going to be brought back. They don't have, like, the Chase Claypool trade was a disaster and they moved on from that quickly. Like, they've tried very hard to upgrade this wide receiver room. And I just don't think that the playmakers are there. Like, they drafted Tyler Scott out of Cincinnati in the third round last year, and he didn't really do a whole lot for them. I still have high hopes for him as like a pure deep threat, but Rome Odunze is more of the alpha wide receiver one type. Like, DJ Moore is a great player, but I don't think he necessarily fits all the traits of a typical wide receiver one in the NFL in the same way that Rome Odunze does. Like, in terms of putting all of it together, like run after catch, the ability to be a deep threat, the ability to be a ball winner. We've seen Rome Odunze be a ball winner quite often with Michael Penix just throwing it up and making him go get it. And I think that Rome Odunze just brings a lot more to the table. And especially when you factor in the possibility and the likelihood that Caleb Williams is going to be there. Caleb Williams is a guy who very frequently says, "Hey man, I'm going to trust my wide receiver and tell you to go get it." Well, Rome Odunze is a guy who can do that for him. So I think it's a really nice pairing to really help the Bears offense level up as they try to enter a new era.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. Bears at number nine. I've seen that. Like, I've seen that fit a lot. So it makes a ton of sense. I don't think Rome Odunze is going to fall much further. I do have him falling one spot further. This is more of a wish. I think the Jets are a team that I wouldn't say they're operating through like a proper organizational structure anymore, because it is just built around Aaron Rodgers at all costs. Yeah. And while they probably should go offensive line to help out, I could see them going 10 and really trying to get another skill position player around Rodgers and pairing Rome Odunze with Garrett Wilson. That would easily make a pretty filthy 1-2 punch in the AFC if they really try to take a run at the Kansas City Chiefs. You hope Rodgers is healthy for one more year and then, or two more years, and then you figure it out after that. But I do think if you look at where the AFC East is going, the Bills are cutting everybody left and right to try and figure out their cap situation. The Dolphins seem beatable. I think everybody likes their offense, but thinks that they have a limited ceiling. But the way to beat the Dolphins is probably to outscore them. And I think that the Jets might lean into, let's try and just give Rodgers all the weapons and let him figure it out. So I think it makes a lot of sense. Put him next to Garrett Wilson. Odunze, for some, this is completely an opinion, but I do feel like he's not a true number one in the way that Neighbors and Marvin Harrison is. It just feels like Odunze may be better suited in more of like a committee situation like he was at Washington with Polk and McMillan. It feels like Odunze isn't an 120 targets receiver. Not that he's not talented enough, but it just feels like his best role is more in like the 60 to 80 catch range next to another guy that's hauling in, you know, 80 to 100 passes like Garrett Wilson. So I think those two together really complement each other, two just insane route runners.
No, absolutely. And I mean, I think both of our best fits kind of lend itself to that idea about Rome Odunze, like DJ Moore and Rome Odunze and Garrett Wilson and Rome Odunze.
Yeah, he's more of a complimentary player. Like he's not the guy you build around. He's the guy you put in the roster.
It's the 1A, 1B situation as opposed 100%. To like defined, you know, traditional one and two roles.
Yeah, 100%. The last one I want to talk about, this is a little bit more ambiguous, but he was such a lightning rod at the NFL draft combine that I wanted to throw him on the outline. Xavier Worthy, who ran a 4.21 40-yard dash at the combine in Indianapolis. I mean, this guy's really skinny. He weighs 170 pounds, but I mean, he has over 30 touchdown passes across three seasons. Just had over 800 yards receiving at Texas in a pro-style system that Steve Sarkisian ran. First-round pick, I would say he's like on the border. I think with speed like that, he probably has to find himself in just with some of the teams picking at the back half of the first round. Is there one spot, Cody, that you find yourself liking Xavier Worthy going to?
Very, very selfishly, the Dallas Cowboys. But I do think that when you look at the Cowboys, they're most likely going to end up cutting Michael Gallup this offseason. So that leaves their wide receiver core with obviously CeeDee Lamb, electric playmaker, really broke out as like a true wide receiver one, probably top five guy in the league this past year. But then you have Brandon Cooks, who frankly took a step back last season, and Jalen Tolbert, who is completely unproven, although the team really likes him. but there is not a complimentary piece in that wide receiver core to CeeDee Lamb. Xavier Worthy is what they had hoped Michael Gallup would be pre-ACL and obviously never really materialized post-ACL injury. That deep threat, that vertical threat, that guy who can take the lid off the defense. Because you look at CeeDee Lamb and where he's really at his best, where his, you know, if you're looking at a heat chart, where his green areas are on that heat chart, it's when he is going across the middle of the field or being able to work in space. Because CeeDee Lamb, another one of those guys, fantastic route runner and can just get open in any situation. And if you take the top off the defense and like take away some of that safety help of the defense, that's really going to open up the field even further for CeeDee Lamb, who's also really good run after the catch. And I think Worthy is the perfect guy to do that, because he's not going to be a, you know, like you said, a 100 target guy per season. He's going to be in that. Best case scenario for Xavier Worthy is DeSean Jackson, if we're being honest. Like, that's kind of that role where he is, where like, yeah, he's not the traditional wide receiver one by any stretch of the imagination, but he's going to put up wild production because he's going to average like 19 yards per catch. Like, that's what you want Xavier Worthy to be. The Cowboys do not have that element to their offense, and I think it would make a lot of sense to add that, especially for a roster that frankly just does not have a lot of holes at the premium positions where you'd be picking at 24. So I think they are in a position where at 24 they can make a luxury pick such as that.
Yeah, the Cowboys love to make luxury picks anyway.
Yeah, they'll do it whether or not they have the luxury to do it or not.
There's an easy answer here, though. It's the Kansas City Chiefs at pick 32. Never has a Super Bowl champion with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback needed so much help at wide receiver. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the riches, I think they're going to get richer. I think there's a lot of options they could go with at 32, like if they wanted to go get like AD Mitchell or something. But to me, Xavier Worthy, put that speed with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid scheming up plays. I mean, that is ridiculous. Like, you thought Mecole Hardman scored the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl in overtime. Imagine Xavier Worthy's not going to let that game get to overtime. They're going to scheme him wide open. I mean, you want to talk about like Tyreek Hill 2.0. I mean, this is it. A guy with that kind of speed, a proven pass catcher like that. After he ran the 4-2-1, Patrick Mahomes texted him congratulating him. So there's obvious links here. Yeah. And there's, to me, if he's there at 32, I don't see how he falls out of the first round. I just think that there's simply too much talent and the fit is just perfect. So I like Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs, and I think that's just awesome. That's like, that's auto. Like, content creators and journalists everywhere are going to love that, because you can just easily do like A for the Chiefs on their draft, like on Thursday night, like trying to beat deadline. It's like, okay, Chiefs A, they got Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And to be clear, a little behind the curtain, you got your best fits in, and I didn't want to be redundant with the Chiefs, but I'm trying to manifest this happening in any way I possibly can. In my post-combine mock draft, I had not only the Chiefs drafting Xavier Worthy, I had them trading ahead of the Bills, getting to the 27th pick to do so, to make sure they got this guy. Because yeah, I think the Bills are another fit. That makes sense. They're losing Gabe Davis. They need a deep threat in that offense. So I think it would make a lot of sense. But I think the Chiefs, talk about, you know, in the ability to make luxury picks, no one has that luxury quite like the Chiefs, because they have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. So I do think it is the most ideal fit for sure.
Yeah, I love it. That was a nice little exercise we did there, a little like draft fits, a little draft rumor roundup. So here's how this is going to go. We are taking next week off because us college heads need to get ready for the NCAA tournament. But once that calms down, we'll be back in 2 Mondays with fresh new NFL draft content. Maybe we'll get more into the betting markets. Maybe we'll talk some updated news, maybe some free agency fallout, and see how that's going to shape the top of the draft. So we'll be back in 2 weeks, and then every Monday up until the draft. And then I'm sure we will have some live coverage with some of the Stack in the Box NFL guys on draft night. So Cody, glad to get back in the saddle with you, chat it up, chop up some of our favorite fits. And yeah, make sure in the meantime, you're signing up for DraftKings Sportsbook using the promo code STB. That stands for this fine podcast, Stack in the Box. You will get a free bonus bet up to $1,000 as soon as you sign up. So make sure you go do that. In the meantime, we'll see you all. Happy March. Happy draft season. We'll see you in 2 Mondays.
We'll see you.
When you need
need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.